and dragons, magical fury. Yes, we love these. Listen to us play them, please. Postmod Games!
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
And welcome to the third annual Book Squad Game. I feel like, Ellis, this is for you. Ellis always says she likes Book Squad Games.
Book Squad Games fan.
What's the name of this episode?
This is Book Squad Games 3, Tokyo Drift. And we will be playing Urban Shadows from Magpie Games.
That was my request.
Yeah,
because I like
really cool
creepy things.
My request is that, well, it was that we named it Tokyo Drift.
Yeah,
yes.
But that henceforth we only use Fast and the Furious naming conventions for Book Squad Games episodes.
I mean, I don't hate that idea.
Yeah, I mean that covers the next 4 years.
I'm just sad then that we didn't do two squad, two games.
I was gonna say we already missed.
We'll
the
We'll start
boat.
Now. Because really, Tokyo Drift was the one that kind of, like, didn't make any sense with the rest of them. Yeah. So we'll start with Tokyo Drift.
Well, it was in Tokyo.
I mean, I'm going to go back and retroactively edit the episode title on the original file, so.
Good.
I would like to, once we run out of those, I would like one to be called the Squeakle.
Todd, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, yeah, if it wasn't clear, Todd's here.
It's me, spouse of the pod, Todd.
One spouse.
We're all married to Todd.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Husband of the married.
Oh, no.
Our husband, Todd.
Yeah, please.
We have three husbands, so it's fine.
And you share all of us, so.
Yeah.
No.
Whenever we need a husband, we just see which one's handy and we just go with that.
Yeah.
It was Todd today. Congrats,
I think
Todd.
In order of handiness, and this is just
I think Justin Ben
with a bullet, then Ben, and then way down
somewhere
here
at the bottom.
Yesterday, wow. I couldn't put a trampoline together.
I think you all
that
have your very specific
handy
things
qualities.
That's true, but even if you wanted like one of the husbands to help you read poetry, I don't know. Ben's also there.
It's true, and I guess Ben technically could be our master of ceremonies right now.
He could be.
I think he might have been doing it longer than Todd, so.
100%. He was my first dungeon master.
Oh, well then he's been doing it since middle school, so he's definitely been doing it longer than you.
What a nerd.
So,
yeah, Ben
I'm
is like,
just an also-ran.
Ben is a legit nerd, like, deep nerd.
Deep nerd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are playing Urban Shadows, a Powered by the Apocalypse game, as Mary said, from Magpie Games. Really great that we picked this one because it just coincides. They just finished a Kickstarter for the second edition, and they're working on it this summer. If you want, you can go and buy this edition if you want, but that's what we'll be using, the second edition. But for this today, it is set in Tokyo. I am a white man. And
white women.
We're going to do our best to not be culturally appropriative.
Emily's the only one that has
been to Japan.
Any experience in Japanese?
I've been to Japan.
Oh, okay.
I do not speak Japanese.
That's right. So Kelly and I have been to Japan. I studied Japanese. So
I've watched a lot of anime, but that is not.
Not the same.
I haven't even done that, so I'm probably the least
versed.
Yeah. Have you even seen Tokyo Drift?
Yeah, Susan has seen Tokyo Drift, which is really
all you really need.
Yeah, that's my closest association with.
I haven't seen Tokyo Drift, but Han will be appearing in this.
Great.
No.
Perfect.
Maybe we'll see. So the whole premise of Urban Shadows is it's a modern day. And you guys are all supernatural creatures, which is very fun. Yeah. Why don't we... we already did a Session Zero, because Session Zeros can kind of run a little long for Urban Shadows. So what I would love to do really quickly, just to get us into this game and to get us more familiar with these characters before we meet them in-game, is just do some of these intro questions with each of y'all, and then we'll just dive into the game.
Okay.
Is that totally fine?
Yeah.
I might not know the answer. I'm just telling you that right now.
That's okay. Let's start with Kelly.
Yeah.
And your character. Do you want Cammy or Kami?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Are you Japanese?
I'm Japanese.
Okay, then it would be Kami.
Okay. Kami.
All right, Kami. How old were you when your visions began? Because Kami is an oracle who sees the future.
I was 13.
13. Good to know. How long have you been in the city?
I was born and raised in Tokyo.
Beautiful. How did you originally convince your benefactor to trust you and your visions?
I had a vision. And it came true.
And it was good.
Was it about the benefactor?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a real, like, Joseph.
That's right. Like, from the Bible?
Yeah.
Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, I was like, in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll also say that my one demeanor descriptor that I chose was distant. So.
Good. I'm going to have you guys describe yourself, I think, when we meet you in-game. But, yes, I love that. That's very fun.
Great.
Who seeks to sway you from your service?
My sister.
Aw. What's your sister's name?
Wow, great question.
Keiko is a very common Japanese name.
Keiko.
Mm-hmm.
Keiko. Yep.
That's
perfect.
Is that K-E-I-K-O?
Yep.
Okay.
Look at you. So good.
And what signs hint that your prophecy grows near?
So I had a question about this. Is that just, like, whenever I'm about to have a vision?
I think so, okay. Yeah.
I get really lightheaded, and when it actually happens, my eyes roll back into my head, obviously.
Oof. Yes.
Yeah. But usually that, and then I feel very cold.
Mm.
Cool.
Lightheaded and cold.
All right. The last thing I will ask you is, what are your prophetic tools that you use?
I'm gonna go with a pentacle and a tarot deck.
Mm. Perfect.
Classic.
That's great.
Choices.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Kami.
Thank you.
Let's move to Juno the Wolf, played by Susan. It's okay if you don't have, like, great answers for this.
I'm going to improvise. Let's go.
Yeah, that's right. when did you first experience the change?
When I had my first period.
Okay.
You got it.
How long have you been in the city?
I snuck here when I was 17.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. What is the best part of your other form?
My teeth.
Oh, that sounds really sweet. I imagine, though, that the teeth are used for vicious reasons, but it sounds really sweet.
Teeth.
Mm-hmm. Who is the most important person in your territory?
Probably my boss at the gentleman's club.
Okay. I love it. And what do you desperately need?
Restraint.
Mm.
Oof.
Yeah. I like that. That's fun. You get to choose two practical weapons as part of your starting gear.
Yes, I see this. So I have a duffel bag with my personal belongings, a shitty cell phone, and a snub-nosed revolver.
Okay. Ooh.
And a machete.
Whoa. I love it. Next, we will turn to Sylvia, our spector.
It's me!
Our spector, a.k.a. a ghostie. Sylvia, what memories do you still hold of your death?
Not much.
Yeah. I think you could say none if you want. You don't have to hold memories.
No, I don't really have any memories of my death. And I know that it happened recently. I get that feeling. It feels fresh. Like, it kind of hurts a little bit still, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but maybe I'm making it up. But it feels like it hurts still. I don't know.
Totally. How long have you been in the city?
I don't think long because just being able to deduce from my surroundings, I am about 18 years old and I am not Japanese. Mm-hmm. And my roommate, who I was living with, is also not Japanese. And so I feel like we probably moved here recently, as we are young and alone and not Japanese.
Who looks after you when your trauma overwhelms you?
My cat.
Aww.
Phantom's right there.
He's back there.
I know, I'm leaning.
He's here.
Yes, I have a little black cat named Phantom. That's not me pretending. That's real.
That's
we're putting it in the game.
What place in the city still makes you feel alive?
There's this place in the park where I feel like I used to meet somebody really important to me, but I can't really remember who. Maybe like a lover or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like I feel something in my heart when I'm there. So I keep going back.
Totally. Which of your anchors has been most recently threatened?
Probably my roommate.
Okay. What do you think threatened your roommate?
I don't know. I don't know who killed me.
Unlike Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
So I worry that whoever came for me is going to, I don't know, come for her. My roommate's name is Ling. She's Chinese. We both speak Japanese. So that's, we communicate to each other in Japanese.
Okay. Cool. And then your starting gear is whatever was on you when you died. Which might not be much.
It wasn't very much. My clothes.
Maybe like a book bag.
Yeah, maybe I had a book bag with like
a pencil case.
Ghostly textbooks.
Some textbooks.
There's just like a ghost version of Intro to Comp.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not even that helpful because it's just like intro classes. So I don't even know what I was like studying in school because I'm like, this is a hodgepodge.
General economics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is. Sylvia.
Very good.
Last but not least, our Faye, Sue Me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's learn about you. Why did you leave your homeland?
Okay. So, technically, this is my homeland. I think I came from, maybe the mountains or something. Like, not in the city.
Yes.
But I am regional.
Okay, I like that. We are sort of doing a... Can we say this is... Like a play on the
thing. Yeah.
Because we really wanted to tie it into Japanese folklore.
Mythology.
So, Japanese mythology. So you are playing an oni fae.
It's like a type of. It's like a type of spirit. Like when cats get really old, there is a superstition that they will turn into a demon and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a type of spirit. That is a cat, can turn into a cat that comes to kill people who have done cruelty to cats.
Mm.
Yes. That is.
I love Japanese mythology because it is so hyper specific.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I keep thinking about the red hand.
There was one that was a toilet paper demon, yeah. And it shows up in the bathroom to people who need toilet paper, and it says you can have a red toilet paper or a blue toilet paper, and depending on what they pick, it either kills them.
Is this the Matrix?
Or just goes away. I don't know.
One of them reveals you've been in the Matrix the whole time, and the other one, you just get to wipe your butt and live your life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. How long have you been in the city?
I'm going to say I've been in the city since 2000.
Okay.
The internet was getting big.
I wasn't even born then.
I needed a better connection.
Yeah.
So I moved to the city.
What do you love most about humanity?
I love that humans do have the potential to do better.
Mm-hmm.
I have threatened a few people who are cruel to animals and scared them into being good.
Yeah.
What about when they murder people?
A couple of times.
It's like, I got murdered. Care about that?
I've mostly done murders.
Yeah. But they have the potential.
Well, potentially.
Who is your closest confidant or lover?
I think my fae court is kind of MLM-esque. We have a person at the top.
Mm-hmm. Who will be revealed later.
A ruler of the court. And then we have, tiers.
Yeah.
And so I think my confidant is like somebody on my level. Yeah. We're both like running some smaller.
Oh, so it's not your upline?
No, 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 no. It's like a lateral move from me.
Her Do you have a downline?
Yeah, I got a downline.
Okay, well, I didn't know where you were on the pyramid, you know.
I got some affiliated people.
She got in back in 2000.
That's true.
Right.
It's a pretty, she's making money. An Asian MLM.
If you want to start your own business, you got to get in 2000.
I think she streams under Luna.
Okay.
With, like, some emojis. Mm-hmm. Like a little star emoji or something.
What do you desperately need?
Attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep, try. And you also have starting gear, a comfortable house or apartment, a decent car, a smartphone.
I have an apartment.
Man, everyone's like gear is so much better than mine.
A nice apartment. I would think apartments, like nice apartments in Tokyo, not, you know, I imagine it to be like the New York.
Yeah, it's probably worse than that, actually. Like, the amount of space you can get in Tokyo is pretty limited.
Small. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, have, like, a nice apartment.
I'm not saying Tokyo is worse than New York as a city. I'm just saying the apartment situation.
The footprint of individual homes is smaller.
Yeah,
I think that's a bigger population than New York, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a bigger population, and they're more, like, crowded into, like, fewer boroughs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Right. You also have a relic from your homeland and a symbol of your court, which can be sort of whatever you choose.
Can I specify what my smartphone looks like?
Yeah.
I feel it's very important.
Do you have a little, like, one of those charm?
Yes. It's, like, one of those new... It's like a flip phone, smartphone, that the folds kind. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I do have, like, so many little charms.
Mm-hmm. On it.
And it's pink.
Of course. Does it have cat ears on it?
No.
Okay. That would be good.
But I obviously have cat ears on my headset.
Yes.
Obviously.
a relic from my homeland. Mm-hmm. I think I have... like a wood carving of a cat with two tails.
I love that. And a symbol of your court? Do you want it to be the phone? That would make sense.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Wait, before we go on.
Yes. Yes, please.
I would like to announce that I am drinking Post Malone's rosé.
Is it good?
It's good. It's nice and crisp. I don't know a lot of words to describe wine, so I'm going to go with crisp and tart.
The reviews are in.
But I'll let you know how I feel about it. You know, I just started.
That made me want wine. I'm going to see if we have some.
So, you know, like, yes, I have Post Malone's wine. This episode is brought to you by Post Malone's Rosé.
But it's not, because, like, he didn't pay us
He
for
didn't.
That.
But he could.
Me and I had to buy this wine. Nobody gave it to me.
Use code TART at checkout.
Yeah.
If you want it on this Post Malone.
Use code FACE TATTOO at checkout.
Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to say before we jump into the game. This game is a little odd in that, one, there is this mechanic called debts. We have already sort of gone over the debts during our session zero. But it basically is a mechanical thing that is meant to represent that someone else did something for you and now you owe them. Nothing is done for free in this game. And the other thing that's interesting about this game is that you can advance, just like you would think of like leveling up in a video game or Dungeons and Dragons or other games that we've played. But, you do that whenever you make a move that involves another faction. Or a person from another faction, you get to check that faction, and once you have done one of those moves with all four factions, then you get to advance. If you look on the, like, move sheet that I gave you, it's all of the ones that are on the second page. So circle moves or debt moves. If you do any of those, then we find out what the faction is of the person you did it with, either Mortalis, Knight, Power, or Wild. And you get to check that faction on your character sheet under the thing that says advancement. And once you've done all four of them, you get to pick an advancement. But for now, let us dive into Oh no, I truly was just channeling name your D&D streamer. Let's dive into tonight's episode of Book Squad Games.
I'm expecting a new ukulele sting for that.
For a Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
It is a warm night, and classes have just ended for the semester at the University of Tokyo. Students are walking in the quad where high above them a clock tower stretches toward the sky. You see people hustling and bustling about on their way. Some are watching videos on their phone, mukbang, ASMR, and some are watching their favorite streamer, Neko-chan. Across from the university, a man who appears to be in his early 40s, wearing a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey, with blonde hair that curls around his ears, is holding up a large photograph of a young woman and saying, "Have any of you seen my daughter? Her name is Sylvia. She's a student at the university." Down the road, in a neighborhood where the lights don't quite hit the street, people scurry quickly, not wanting to stay too long. There are rumors about this part of town. Some people come in and never come back out again. At the top, the very top, of one of the towers in this neighborhood, we see Kami in their finely appointed apartment. Kelly, please describe Kami and tell us what they are up to. Just a normal night.
Kami is dressed in, as usual, whites and beiges. Very neutral clothing. Very streamlined. Kami is Japanese. Very androgynous. Gender neutral. Pronouns they, them. Thank you very much. And Kami is sitting on the sofa reading their tarot deck. Just flipping through the cards.
As you are sort of sitting there minding your own business, you hear a knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm gonna get up and look through the peephole.
it's sort of dark. You can't quite make out, but it does look like someone you recognize. This is one of Cleopatra's, like, manservants.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Great.
Manservants?
I crack open the door, and I have a little chain bolt on it. I'm actually not sure how the locks are on Japanese apartments, but just imagining that there's a double lock, and I can just open a crack and look through and say, "What?"
They say, "Sorry, Kami, letter from the mistress."
I reach my hand through the door for the letter.
Yeah, they hand you a very, like, thick vellum parchment that is folded and has the words Kami with a little heart over the eye.
This is so gaudy. Okay. I close the door and...
Oh, well, I'm sorry,
No.
I think you just hear, like, them muttering, like, oh, so...
If I have questions, for sure. I'll open the door back again, but...
Okay.
Okay, I open the letter.
You see in a very fine hand written, Kami, I need you presently.
Okay.
No questions needed there. That seems pretty straightforward. Yeah.
So I guess I'm just gonna put on my shoes, grab my bag, which is like a big kind of like over the shoulder messenger bag. And shove all of my stuff into there, including my tarot cards. And probably a pack of cigarettes. And then I'm going to peep through the peephole to make sure that the person isn't still there. Are they still there waiting for me?
They are not there.
Okay. Then I'm gonna leave and head towards Cleopatra's.
I think you start to head, and you do see them, like, a couple blocks ahead of you down the street.
Okay, so I pause and wait until I can't see them anymore, and then I start moving again.
As you are sort of winding your way towards your benefactor's apartment, the camera keeps going and whips down the street until we see Juno. Susan, if you would please describe Juno to us and let us know what she is up to.
What time is it?
I would say it's probably like 8.
Juno is just returning home from a trip to get some groceries, and it's almost time to get ready for work.
Okay. What does Juno look like?
Juno is a British girl of 22. She is blonde, kind of plain looking during the day at least, but not plain when she goes to work. We're talking lots of makeup, eyelashes, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So you are just sort of getting ready for...
I'm about to shave my legs.
Okay. How often does Juno have to shave her legs?
Every night.
Can't have any prickles.
Yep. Gotta sit on people's laps.
As you are shaving your legs, you get a text on your phone.
It said that I have a shitty cell phone, so I'm going to assume I have a really old one. And yeah. My texts pop up in green.
Of course. Ruining the group text.
Of course. It is from one of your coworkers who is like, things are crazy tonight. When can you get here?
Ugh, Jessica. Okay. I'm like, I'm shaving, and then I'll be there.
Okay, thanks. Great. Smiley emoji. Everything is ready to go. Okay. Well, like, on Jessica's... Jessica's end. She's like, great, I did my job. I found out when you're going to be here.
Yeah. 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Perfect. Do you want to describe where Juno works?
Yes. Juno works at a club, the name of which I'm going to think of swiftly.
Yeah.
It's called the Silver Nightingale.
Ooh, the Silver Nightingale. That's fun. Cool.
It is a... I mean, I don't know the, like, proper name of this, but it's, like, a gentleman's club. It's not a strip club, but it's, you know, a place where, like, businessmen come in. As a hostess, I serve them drinks and flirt with them and, on the side, go on non-sexual dates with them for extra money.
Okay. So you are getting ready, for another night at the Silver Nightingale. I imagine probably, you are also hyper aware that, it will be a full moon tonight. So you're just gonna have to sort of be aware of that, and you might have to, like, duck out for your break. Take care
absolutely.
Of- yeah.
Uh-huh. Definitely ducking out for the break. That's why I had to shave so thoroughly, though.
Yeah.
Too. Because... if you're already hairy and then a full moon, I mean,
right, come on.
Yeah, it's crazy. All bets are off at the Silver Nightingale.
So you get ready, head out to work. You're walking down the street, heading towards public transit of choice, or just walking, whatever. The camera keeps going. It moves really quickly now, as if we're traveling great distances. We see up into a very chic-looking apartment, where there is a green screen set up, and there is a huge monitor array, and all of these lights. I'm just imagining. You tell me if this is wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Sue Mi, what are you up to?
I think it's 8. I mean, I'm streaming.
Yeah.
I'm streaming. So I'm doing a just chatting stream. I'm there in front of my monitor with a pink wig and I have cat ears on my headphones and I am doing a Q&A with my chat.
You see the chat is, you know, loving it. They're like, yeah, go Sue Mi. Oh, sorry, go Neko-chan.
Neko-chan. And I am like, I need you guys to sub chat. I need you to promise me to sub. It just really helps me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hit that goal.
Let's hit that goal.
You get a text from Luna, And it just says, did you hear about Am?
And I fully am just like, I'm on stream, but I'm like, oh, sorry, I have a text message. And I just put up my be right back screen and respond and say no.
Luna responds back very quickly, full ban, no explanation.
I do like a bunch of little angry, like the angry cat face. Mm-hmm. And I say, that's stupid. That's not fair. Obviously, Twitch should have explained why they banned her.
And then she says, Empress wants us all to meet.
Is this like a regular thing? Do we normally meet?
No, this is a rare thing. This is like you're getting called.
The upline has called you.
And then you get a text, a separate text from someone that in your phone is just a crown emoji.
Yes.
And it's a Zoom link.
Okay. I pop back on my stream for like 2 seconds. Oh, sorry, chat. I actually have to go. Family business came up. I know. It's so sad. But I'll be back later tonight for a super special late night stream.
I feel like Mary should be a streamer in real life after this.
I know. I wish there was video for this podcast.
Yeah, so you can see Mary's cute little faces.
Yeah.
And I log off. Mm-hmm. Blue kisses. And log off and get into the Zoom.
Sort of like take off your...
Yeah, I'm just like taking off the wig, fanning.
Yeah.
Open up a snack.
Right. As you click on the Zoom link, the camera sort of travels through the wires as if this were the hit television show Reboot.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Taking it back.
Deep dive.
And you travel through the wires, and we keep going out through your laptop, or your computer, probably, out the window, across town, and we see on just a normal street in Tokyo, a very cute black cat with one sort of milky eye who is just sort of trotting down the street, unbeknownst to anyone else. Sylvia, please describe what you would look like if we could see you.
Well, so I am kind of like, sometimes I am fully looking like myself and sometimes I'm just like kind of like cloudy. Mm-hmm. So like I'm shifting a little bit just depending on like how like present I am in the moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I have to kind of like really concentrate to like be there totally.
For sure.
But so I'm half Japanese, half white. I have long dark hair, but I guess like everything's kind of like I kind of like the color kind of looks drained out of me. So all of this is like very like muted looking, like and like I do have blood all over me.
Casual.
Yeah.
You know.
Kind of hard to tell where the blood is coming from. But yeah, I'm wearing like a dress and I have a backpack on. And yeah, I look very confused.
Totally.
Like I don't know how I got here.
As you are walking, you sort of pass by Tommy as they are walking down the street and you just sort of like cross paths. Is there anything you are up to tonight, Sylvia? Or are you just sort of like walking around with Phantom?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to like, you know, cause I'm trying to figure out what the heck happened to me. And like, I'm not quite sure. Like, I remember my first name. I know this is my cat. I know where my apartment is. And I know this place in the park. So I think I'm like walking around near the park to see if I find anything else in the city that feels familiar to me that might like jog my memory.
For sure.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say. Why don't you go ahead and roll plus spirit to try and let it out?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Is the Milky Eye a magic eye?
Maybe.
So how many dice do I roll for that? Sorry.
You're just going to roll your everything you're going to roll two dice, two d6.
Two? Okay. So I got a 4 and a 6. So 10 total plus my spirit, that's 12.
That's great.
I have my cat here to help me, so
normally the way this works is that you get to activate a power whenever you let it out. The way I'm going to have it work right now is that you actually see a moment happen that no one else sees. Kami, in this moment, you're sort of walking down the street. You see this very cute black cat, and you sort of feel this, like, shiver run through you. Mm-hmm. Like you just like someone just walked over your grave. And I need you to actually roll to do a foretelling.
Okay.
Which is a sort of beginning of session move for the Oracle.
Okay.
When you said very cute at the beginning, I thought you were going to say that Sylvia is very cute, and I was like, I don't know if that's true. Because she is covered in blood, so I don't know.
Wow.
But her cat, yes, is cute. We'll go with that.
So I got a 6. And a 2. So that's 8 plus 1, 9.
Okay. So you get to pick one of these three. A dangerous threat is closing in. An ally is plotting a betrayal. A tragedy lurks in the shadows.
I mean, I feel like a tragedy lurks in the shadows is simply true.
It's me. I'm the tragedy.
So, as you are having, as you are sort of standing there, you get this vision of a young girl being attacked, and you suddenly sort of feel as if this spirit is nearby. And in that exact same moment, Sylvia, you see Kami realize this. And Kami sort of looks directly at you, even though you have not manifested.
I'm like, I'm so surprised, because I'm really not used to people seeing me. And my the first thought that passes through my mind is I'm a little embarrassed.
Because
I don't look, you know, presentable for company, you know what I mean?
Like, because Kami's a hot 25-year-old.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm a horny 18-year-old girl, so I like immediately pick up my cat and clutch him to my chest as if this is going to somehow cover up the fact that I look a mess.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining people walking down the street and seeing this cat floating like
Yeah. Like, man, cats, weird. There was a group of people walking down the street, and they've crossed the street walking on the other side. You see, like, a group of, like, school children, like, teenage school children who are walking down, and they're like, nope. Teenage children are, like, not gonna mess with that.
So, can I, I'm gonna say, what happened to you?
Wait.
Can I talk to you?
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm asking you this in the game. I'm like, can you hear me?
Oh, well, can I?
I will say, because of this, you know where Sylvia is. I think, Sylvia, if you want to be heard, you have to manifest.
Okay, so I have to roll for that?
You do not.
Oh, okay, so I just choose if, so I can be seen, so I guess the other thing, I just choose the other one, and I guess in this case, I would choose to be heard rather than to be touched.
Yeah. So you appear more or less as a human covered in blood right now.
Yeah.
And you might look like very pale or kind of washed out, but most people that saw you would be like, oh, that's a human.
Yeah.
Holding their cat.
She just right. might be a little anemic.
Yeah.
Get her some iron.
Get her some blood.
Yeah.
Probably because of all that blood.
Yeah. I mean, if I was in a city, I'd be like, maybe she's a performance artist.
Right.
That's first.
Maybe she just got done performing in a play with her cat.
She was in Carrie.
Anyway, I'm going to say, you can hear me?
Okay.
And I'm still just kind of like.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hear that, Kami.
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
I don't know what happened to me. I'm dead, right?
It looks that way, yes.
And Kami, you saw a very clear vision of something happening to her and her dying.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Do you know, like, how recent this was? Do you have any idea what's going on at all?
It could have happened yesterday, because I couldn't, if you asked me what happened yesterday, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. How about, can I try to touch her?
You go out to touch her and your hand sort of passes through.
Okay.
But it touches the kitty a little bit.
Yeah.
You and you're like, oh, the kitty's real. The kitty's alive.
The kitty goes, right? I've just narrated the cat. That's now. Fine. I'm very invested in how cute the cat is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Phantom, so it's very cute.
Literally Phantom.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say I feel compelled to help her because she is covered in blood and I feel bad for her. But also I have to get to Cleopatra's. So I'm going to say I have to go somewhere, but you can come with me and wait, and I can try to help you.
Okay, that would be great, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Okay, let's go. I'm going to be in trouble if I don't get
there.
Can
I bring my cat?
Of course.
Okay. But maybe I should put him on the floor so that people don't wonder why he's floating.
Maybe.
As you start to head back, Kami, you actually see that the manservant had, like, turned around and was, like, walking towards you. And then as soon as you start walking that direction again, he just sort of, like, head down, is quickly walking away. We are going to switch back over to Juno. Juno, you've been working hard for several hours, and you sort of are keeping an eye on the clock. You know exactly when moonrise is scheduled to happen. You've got about 10 minutes.
Oh, God.
You see Jessica's like, oh, my gosh, such a crazy night.
Yeah, unfortunately, I am going to have to take a smoke break, though.
Oh, yeah, girl, go, you know, smoke them if you got them, right? Is that what they say? I don't smoke.
Yeah,
I'm
something
so sorry.
Like that. And I would totally offer you one, but I actually only have just this one.
No, it's okay. You know, I don't do it because it's bad for my body. I was gonna specify, but like, there's so many carcinogenic, and like, it's bad for your skin.
That's such a rude thing to say, Jessica.
You're actually cutting into my smoke time. So
right. Sorry, so sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay, girl. Okay, I'm just gonna step into the. There's an alley behind the Silver Nightingale.
Yeah.
The name's growing on me.
It's a good name.
It's a good name.
Yeah, I'm going to step back there. I am going to whip out a cigarette. I actually don't smoke either, but I just carry this.
You just have the one. You've had it for years.
Yeah, I always have one in the pack so no one tries to bum. Yeah, I mean, there's just some random stragglers walking about around in the alley, but
the shadows are very deep in this alley. It's one of the reasons why you started working here. But as you are sort of looking overhead, you see the moon directly overhead. Do you want to describe what happens as you transform? How does it look? What is it, you know?
Well, I'm glad you asked. And I totally know the answer, which is... You know how sometimes when you feel anxious, it can feel like your teeth tingle a little bit? That's what happens first. And then get like a metallic taste in my mouth. My arms and legs feel like pins and needles. And my nails grow very rapidly into sharp white claws. And then I get very big. Like 3 times the size of a person big.
Yeah.
My clothes go away and I have a luscious mane of silvery gray hair. Everywhere.
It's pretty hot.
Mane is not really the right word. That's like what a horse would have.
A coat.
More like a coat.
That's okay.
Tommy with the assist.
Yeah, that's great. So you are fully woofed out, and you know that this is...
Fully woofed out.
Fully woofed out. Wah.
That's what I call it. And I leave my cigarettes on the dumpster right there so I can pick them up.
Important. Do you bring extra clothes? Do the clothes reappear? Is this a...
They're right where I so there's a little dumpster there. Mm-hmm. Set my cigarettes on the ledge. I go behind the dumpster when I feel the teeth tingle. And it's kind of like if I were a person who melted and my clothes were still there.
Yeah.
They're always unharmed and they're just waiting for me in a little pile.
That's nice.
That
good
is
job.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
I've perfected wolfing out.
Yeah. That makes sense. I think you would have at this point. You can feel this sort of, like, tremor through your body that you always feel as if you want to, you know, like, just fully give in to the beast and go on a hunt or, you know, like, go buck wild. And as you are sort of, like, standing there in the alley, you do notice, like, sort of above you, this sort of, like, luminescent figure move from one building to the next, and you're like, oh yeah, this always happens. When you transform, you seem to almost draw supernatural creatures to you like a moth to a flame. They're like, ah yes, something else in the night. Good, let us examine it. As you are there, you see, like, off at the end of the alleyway, this puff of smoke, and someone, like, stepping out of a, like, an old edition of Paradise Lost, a demonic figure just appears with a sword slung over their shoulder, looks at you and just nods, and then walks into the street.
Can I say right now, I would watch this TV show?
Yeah, right?
That actually sounded kind of sexy.
It would be on the CW.
I'm so into this.
And you are sort of just, I don't know, is there anything you want to do while you are? Are you just trying to, like, wait it out? Or is there something you want to accomplish while you're a wolf?
I'd like to go find a customer from the night before.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Bro.
That's great. I love that. Go ahead, and I'm going to have you roll something. This is very good. Actually, I'm going to have you roll Let It Out as well. I think that is the one that makes the most sense. So you're going to roll your 2d6 and add your spirit, which is a 1.
Hey, it worked well for me, Susan. You can do it.
Hold on, I got it. Okay, 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got a 1 and a 3.
Oh.
Okay, so that is a 5. So, the fun thing about this game is that when you succeed, great, you do it, that's great. When you fail, I get to make a hard move. So, you are trying to extend your lupine senses to, like, you know, smell or, you know, get a feel for where this person is. And what you end up doing is you're sort of, like, stomping around, and you stomp through what you thought was just, like, another part of the alley, but was actually a secret trap door. And as you...
secret trap doors.
It's very good. And as you do that, you hear someone say, "Hey, who's out there? All right, boys, let's go." And an entire squad of sort of, like, flak-jacketed... sort of paramilitary looking dudes with these guns that you can tell with your lupine senses are all carrying silver weapons emerge and say, "We got a wolf." You see one of them has like a radio and he's like, "We got a wolf, boss. What should we do?" And you just hear back, "Exterminate." What would you like to do?
What are my
fight
options?
Fight them!
You can fight them if you want. There's probably about 3 or 4, well, let's say 3 of them, with,
and they're
like
just regular-sized men?
Perfect. She's 3 times the size of a regular dude. We already said this.
Oh, yeah, I can fight them.
You can fight them. You can also try to escape. It is up to you.
No, you fight.
There is literally a move that's,
I just
like, want
to say, I love that they're clearly, like, some kind of hunter. They were just chilling, and when a wolf falls into their... lap, they're like, "Oh wait, we found one. You didn't do anything, guys."
That's
my clumsy big foot.
Okay.
I'm gonna fight them because I'm like bloodthirsty and shit.
Yes, I love that.
And I mean, we need this for the pilot episode. We need some action.
You need some action.
I got you.
Roll turn to violence. So you're gonna roll 2d6 and add your blood, which is 2.
Okay, so it's a 7 total, and then add 2. So
okay,
9.
So a 9. That's a hit. So, on a hit, you inflict harm as established, and your opposition chooses 1. So, you, as a wolf, you have, like, built-in claws, and, because you are a savage wolf, which was one of
classy,
your transformations, bougie, also ratchet. Classy, I don't know if we have established what you do, but I'm gonna say you deal at least 3 damage. It is messy. So what does it look like as you start to go to town on one of these boys?
Describe.
Well, I like to save my teeth for, like, the ones I'm really mad at. So mm-hmm. I took that first one out just, like, paws and claws.
Yeah. Slap it.
I'm talking to the face, to the mm-hmm. neck. I want them to look bad the next day. So people know that
yeah.
they yeah. lost.
Yeah, that's important.
To a girl.
So you see these guys are wearing like full armor. You rip through it like it's tissue paper. And you just fully rend this guy's chest open. He looks very bad. And is immediately like screaming, clutching at his chest. As this happens though, the other two have a bead on you. And they say, don't move or we'll shoot.
And can I use my machete?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. Because it's just sitting here.
Yeah.
Tucked away in my fur.
Mm-hmm. As it would be. Go for it.
So I'm going to whip that out, and it's going to make that sound as if it came out of a sheath, but it didn't because it came out of my fur.
Go ahead, and you're going to actually do it again. You're going to turn to violence one more time.
Okay. No problem.
She's going to choose violence.
Once again, I've chosen violence. These dice suck. And it's a 4 total.
A 4 total. Okay. So here's what's going to happen. Both of these guys shoot you, and they are using silver bullets.
Oh, no, Tom.
Yeah. So you're going to actually end up taking 4 damage, which means on your damage track, you're going to move all of them. You're going to fill all of them in except for one. You're one hit away from being fully dead.
Hello.
Wow.
Time!
Things are going super bad for me.
Yes. Well, you did, you know, when you fail a move, things go bad. However, when they do that, they sort of, like, scatter a little bit. And there is an opening now that you think if you wanted to, you could run for it.
I feel like I have to.
You see the third guy, even though he's clutching his chest, is sort of, like, picking himself up, picking up his gun, and, like,
holding the gun.
Getting ready to call in for reinforcements. So you think if there was ever a chance to run, this is it.
Mm-hmm. And I am very fast.
You are very fast, so you get a +1 to escape a situation. So go ahead and roll, and you're going to add blood again. So this is a good roll for you, as long as you don't roll.
In theory. Okay. It's a 6 total.
+2?
Nope. Then it'd be an 8. Yeah, sorry. I didn't add the 2.
Oh my god.
Like, I did not want to kill you in the first, like, hour of this.
I didn't want that either. I have a job to do.
Okay. So here's the deal. You escape the situation, but your clothes and your machete are left behind for now. Because you're just sort of running.
Okay.
You think maybe you'll be able to pick them up later, but for now, I'll give you the choice. Do you leave behind your clothes or do you leave behind your machete?
My clothes.
Okay.
That's right, girl. That's
right. Feel less useful.
Yeah.
I get it. You are severely hurt. You think, so hurt that you don't really, can't think straight. But you do remember, that there is an oracle named Kami who has some connections that you might be able to ask for help.
I do owe her a debt, after all.
You head out. And as we sort of cut away from you, I imagine you almost, like, jump on top of a building and are just, like, leapfrogging away or something. Like, you are... And there's, like, blood, you know, trailing behind you.
Yeah. Not a smooth criminal at all.
You really put the hurt on that first guy, but, like... Woof. 3-on-1 is not a good
woof
scenario.
You know?
Woof.
Woof!
Literally.
We cut back to Neko-chan. You have opened the Zoom link, and you're sort of waiting. You've got your snacks ready. The Zoom link appears. You see your friend Luna, who has mm-hmm. their patented blue hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they are sort of, you know, in their setup. And then you see, come on, one at a time... They're your fellow court members, Amaranth, Valkyrie, and of course your queen, Pokimane. And Pokimane says, honestly, can anyone tell me why we're here right now? Amaranth's like, I am so sorry. This is not my fault. Twitch is being shady. I don't want to hear that right now, Am, okay? You have more important things going on than your whatever you're doing.
I'm, like, private chatting Luna, like, it's because she was showing her butt on Twitch. And then she tried to call it yoga!
So, there's a couple things that I know. I know, Am, you got a little hasty, I think, with what you were doing. But also, people are targeting us. People are targeting our court specifically. What are we going to do about it?
I click the hand raise button.
Yes.
When you say, and I don't mean anything by this, but like when you say people are targeting us, do you know who?
Yes, I have some information that would lead me to believe that there are people in Twitch specifically who want us to fail. Mm. And the only thing I can think is maybe there are some other courts out there that don't like how we run things. And I can't say I blame them. You see Valkyrie just sort of does like a, yeah, like a fist pump, like, go get them. I can't say that I blame them after how y'all have been acting. So I need y'all to do better. Turn the dial a little bit back on the sexiness, Am, okay? Just a little bit. I know. And Am's like, but, no. Save that for the OnlyFans, okay?
Am's like, I can't sell my bathwater anymore.
No. Get better, and if you can't figure out who's doing this to us, then why are you even part of this court?
That stinks.
These are good questions.
Okay, guys, see you later. Have good streams. Deuces. And Pokemon is gone. And everyone else leaves as well. Luna is there with you, and it's just like, oh my god.
I'm not doing anything like that.
No, that wasn't about us, right?
No, that was just Anne. Just her.
Like, just her. But like, do you think someone's actually targeting us?
Definitely possible.
That's wow. Like, who would do that though? You know, actually. Okay, I did just think of several people that would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense. They, you know what? They hate us, and I hate to say this, they hate us.
Because they ain't us.
Because they ain't us. Yep. They hate us because they ain't us.
The problem is a lot harder to deal with when it's all in the digital space.
That's true. You know, like, me personally, I'm usually just out here, like, sort of. It's kind of a prank. I say, like, hey, do you want this toilet paper or this toilet paper? And then sometimes I kill people, but, like, it's random. I've told you this
what
before,
a plot
but it's just
twist.
Random. It's just random.
Who knew Luna was a toilet paper demon this whole time?
Right, God. Right.
Like,
what a reveal.
It's just mostly
in the first
fun joke for me.
It's like if you like them.
Yeah, it's like if they seem cool, right? But if they're just, like,
Lame. Anyway, you gotta kill them.
Sometimes you get a vibe. Like, obviously, if they're being mean to a cat, they have to die.
Yes.
Do you think that the fact that we live thousands of years has skewed our moral compass at all?
Not even a little bit.
No, I don't think so. We are right, and everyone else is wrong. Mm-hmm. This is a good chat. I gotta go stream for, like, 3 more hours and then wake up and do my 4 a.m. stream for the people. For the people.
You know. In some other time zone.
Those late night freaks.
I have to keep everybody, like, some people are early risers, some people go to bed late, and I gotta stream for everybody. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't need to sleep, so it's like, it doesn't hurt me at all.
Yeah, and they're just like, wow, what dedication.
Yeah, they don't even know.
They don't know. You're secretly killing people over toilet paper this whole time.
Just fine. Like when it feels right.
Just when it feels right.
Luna signs off. What do you do, Neko-chan?
I am going to do some extensive Googling.
Please. Let me see if I can make this a move somehow.
Could it be like the put a name to a face?
Yes, that's actually exactly what it would be. Thank you. Go ahead and put a name to a face.
What is that?
You're going to roll and then roll... you're going to hit the streets.
Yeah.
Streets. And I will tell you which circle it is. Actually, I think you would probably be able to guess it's wild. So you're going to roll with your wild.
Well. Seven.
Okay. So first of all, because you did a circle move, you get to check next to wild. But also, because you hit a 7 to 9, you get to choose one. Whoever you're going to is juggling their own problems, or whatever you need is more costly than anticipated. So we could say, like, maybe the internet is juggling its own problem. I don't know how you want to... This is meant to be more of, like, problems. You go to someone and...
Yeah. I mean, I could go to someone.
You could, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, I know a guy who's just always on the internet.
Okay.
He hangs out in an internet cafe.
Yeah, I'm going to actually say this is a guy who is, like, a member of another fake horde.
Yeah.
He's, like, a streamer who does, like, just a bunch of Fortnite streaming, Call of Duty. Yes, exactly.
I will go see him in the internet cafe.
Okay. So you go to the internet cafe. It's just called Cafe Internet. Mm-hmm. You walk in. Everyone knows you there. Some people are, like, snapping photos of you, like, oh my gosh, that's Neko-chan. Mm-hmm. That's, guys, mm-hmm. Guys, did you know that's... And you're like, oh, thank you. Do you have your wig on, or are you out?
I mean, I guess if they recognize me, yes.
Yeah, that's true. Or they could just be real stands, you know?
Yeah.
Real heads. Real heads, no. You go up to this guy, his name is Haru, and he is just hanging out, sort of like playing. He's not streaming right now, so he's just playing for fun.
Yeah. And I sit down, I'm like, hey, Haru. I need you to pause the game.
Okay, hold on, I got like 3 more kills and then I'm done.
It's important.
Okay, 2 more kills. He got me. I was gonna kill him. You saw, right?
Yeah. You were gonna kill him.
Like, I think he was probably cheating. He probably had, like, an aimbot on or something. Whatever. Mm-hmm, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What can I do for you?
I kind of explained the situation to him a little bit. I don't give him all the details. I don't tell him we met or whatever. But yes. I'm just gonna say, like, I suspect someone else is trying to move in on my court.
So would you like to do whoever you're going to is juggling their own problems, or whatever you need is more costly than anticipated?
Juggling their own problems.
Okay. So you talk to Haru and he's like, I would love to help. My court's sort of dealing with not the exact same thing, but we got some stuff going on right now too. So I can't do this right away, but I can get to it, probably in a couple days.
If you helped me now... I would owe you.
He sort of looks at
and
you.
And I flutter my eyes.
I'll actually give you a persuade an NPC here.
What is that?
I think it's heart. Just going to be good for you, I believe.
12!
Yeah. He looks at you and he says, well, I mean, my court's going to be there.
Simp for me!
Are you streaming later?
I mean, I don't really have, like, a set schedule, but...
Right. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll just, I'll work on it right now, and I'll just, like, contact you, and if you're streaming, I'll wait until you're done.
I can always, like, BRB.
Okay, do you want me to, like, message you on Twitch, or like, I could get your phone number, or,
Discord.
Yeah, Discord, right, yeah. Of course, duh. Like, I knew that. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, thank you, Neko-chan. And he just sort of sits there and he doesn't know what to say.
He just short circuits. Yeah. And I just kind of pat his leg. I'm like, thanks.
And then
I leave.
Yeah, you
then
leave.
Then he runs to the bathroom to jerk it out.
You see he, like, visibly deflates and then runs to the bathroom. Kami, you are heading... you are sort of at the steps of Cleopatra's high rise. You see the manservant is like there holding the door for you and says, thank you so much. You've saved me a beating this night. I appreciate it.
I ignore him. And walk in.
You see he says like, oh, is this your cat?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So do I. Am I going in here? Where am I going?
Yeah, you're invisible, so you can come.
Okay.
Just follow me.
All right.
Tommy, you are led into a beautiful sort of gilt lobby. Everything seems to be gold and marble. And you are led to these golden elevators, and you go inside. They go directly to the top, where there is a sort of three-story penthouse that you have only been allowed on the first story of. But you know from, like, looking at the like, design of the building that there's a lot more there. There is a elevator, there's like a person in the elevator who is, pushing the buttons for you. They don't really comment on Phantom, they're just like, cool. You come into, this lavishly appointed room. You see there is sort of like a polar bear rug. Just first thing you see. There is all sorts of, like, almost like hunting trophies. Like, you would expect someone who is, like, maybe a big game hunter to live here. And then coming down this, like, sort of cylindrical marble staircase is probably the most striking person you've ever seen. This woman with sort of dark olive colored skin, a bob that goes just below her ears, and a gold, almost gold-plated, shimmery dress. That is, like, goes down to her feet, and these, like, little slippers that she's got on. She says, "Ah, Kami, dear, thank you so much for coming."
Uh-huh.
"And who is your friend?"
This is Sooty, my cat.
No, not the cat, your friend.
Oh,
the one next.
You can see her?
Of course I can.
I look really embarrassed again.
Listen,
did I tell you you could bring guests to my apartment?
I didn't think you would be able to see her.
Oh, that's... Okay, well. I'll give you this one as a lesson. Don't make a habit of it.
Okay, I won't.
I mean, I'm dead. What am I gonna do? Anyway.
A lot. I'm dead. What... She's new here, isn't she?
She is. That's why she's with me. I found her on the street. She's lost.
Okay.
I told her I'd help.
Dearie, what is your name?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, do not talk to people that you do not know unless they've given you permission to do so.
Okay, but you asked me my name.
Right. Well, so that would be an implicit permission. Okay. But you continuing to talk now is grating my last nerve.
Okay. Well...
Kami, do you have something to say about that? About my nerves?
I have absolutely nothing to say to you about that at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Kami, do you know why I've called you here today?
No.
Of course not. There is a development that I thought you should be privy to. A certain group of hunters that, until now, I thought were nothing. They seem to be stocking up for something... and really showing their hand. And you see, she sort of walks over to a wall and flips on a television where there is, like, a full presentation. That seems absurd. Like, Cleopatra wouldn't have done this.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. In fact, she doesn't walk over. She picks up a remote control that you can see only has one button on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she presses the button. And then this, like, PowerPoint...
When did you get this information, and how long did it take for some people to make this presentation?
Oh, I don't know about the presentation. I don't know. The magic light that appears on my wall, that's whatever.
All right.
I've known about this for some time. In fact, the foretelling that you foresaw, I believe, pointed to this group specifically. And you see, as she's talking, there's, like, slideshows, and you see a picture of a middle-aged man with the words Goro Watanabe. I believe he is the leader of this group. They call themselves, ridiculously, the Onikiri.
Okay.
They believe their leader is descended from a great demon slayer, and he wields a magical sword that could slay any supernatural creature, blah, 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 blah. I need them to not exist anymore. It's okay if the hunters, we give them a few of the lesser vampires and werewolves so that they will be sated, but they cannot know about who really runs this city. It's very important.
Okay.
I do not need a group of armed thugs breaking into my apartment and causing a scene. I don't mind bloodshed, but I hate to... And she just points at the polar bear rug. You can't get blood out of polar bear. You simply can't.
I feel like you probably could, but... I guess that's beside the point.
She points you to the presentation one more time where you see this symbol that is like sort of a circle with a very like long blade inside of it, right? And the blade is like piercing the circle. This is their symbol. If you see this on anyone, let me know.
Okay.
Or if you hear any rumblings of hunters working together or in an organized fashion outside of their normal bounds, please, I implore you, let me know.
I will. Is that everything?
For now.
Okay.
And, Sylvia, try to stay out of trouble.
Okay. You know, I feel like I've already gotten into some sort of trouble. But I'll try to do better.
You have no idea who I am, do you?
No.
Enlighten her, Kami, if you wouldn't mind. But not just out of my presence.
Okay. We're gonna head out, Ben.
Please.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.
She just sort of swans away back up the staircase where she came from and is humming to herself.
Okay. And at this point, I will turn to Sylvia. I'm sorry about that. She's extremely dramatic.
Are you still in the apartment when you say that?
Yeah.
The lights flicker and Cleopatra appears in front of you as the elevator doors open. And you see her mouth open wide and her fangs come out. And she says, do I need to use these? Should I make my point more plain?
Is she just trying to prove your point now? Like, what's happening?
Leave!
Okay.
That's what we were doing.
We're on the way. I'm waiting for the elevator.
It's here.
Okay. I'm gonna get in the elevator. Thank you so much, Cleo. Let's go.
It's Cleopatra. Okay. It's not that hard.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Case in point about dramatics.
You see, as you get into the elevator, and it starts to go down, you hear the sound of a priceless vase being smashed against the wall.
That sounded priceless. That sounded real priceless.
It sounded expensive.
You guys both look at the elevator operator, and you see that they are, terrified. This is gonna come out of their hide, you think.
Sorry about that. I don't know what...
Yeah. Listen, I've served my time under Cleopatra's wrath, and I no longer, you know what? I'm just gonna be me, and she's gonna have to deal with it because she needs me.
How brave of you, they say.
I'm guessing this person can't see me.
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't say brave. I would say noble.
This is your floor, Kami.
Heroic. I would say heroic. Really. Yeah.
Brave is not strong enough for what I am. Okay.
They just sigh. They're just
dead inside.
Yeah. You see, as you leave, there's, an emergency light. Like, they are needed back at the penthouse immediately.
Yeah.
To get reamed out.
And I'm just, you know what? You chose this, elevator manservant.
She kidnapped my entire family. None of us chose this.
Okay. Well, I mean, she makes it seem like you did.
Well, yes, that's, she gets off on that. That's true.
Yeah. So how was I supposed to know? Anyway, sorry about that. I owe you one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do.
I owe you one. Okay. Bye.
If you see me tomorrow and I'm still alive, then I'll cash that in.
All right. I'm ready. I'm ready for that.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, technically, you might see him tomorrow. He could be dead. You could still see him. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah. I mean, I'll owe you a debt either way. It's fine. I believe there are things that I could do for you. So we leave.
You head out, and as you sort of emerge and you sort of say goodnight to the other manservant who had been sort of, who had come to your house and is now acting as like a doorman,
mm-hmm.
You see coming down the street, and Susan, we did not describe what happens next, but so Juno is now unwolfed and naked and bloody walking down the street.
With a machete.
That sounds about right.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure we are all on the same page.
I actually feel a little relieved that there's someone out there who is also bloody like me.
I got you. At least yeah. You have clothes on.
Yeah.
So you, Kami, you and Sylvia with Phantom come out and sort of head down the street, and you pass by an alleyway where Juno is waiting. Like, you tracked her to this location, and you knew better than to go in here.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Hi. How's it going?
Not great. I had a bit of a scuffle.
Mm-hmm.
I need some help.
Okay.
Can she see me?
Nope. I don't think so.
Probably
I
not.
I assumed not.
Yeah.
I don't think right
now.
Can
you
and
your nice
cat
help me?
Yeah, I think you are too focused on the blood leaking out of you.
I feel like yeah. Phantom probably, like, hisses at her.
I can probably smell the blood, but can't see you.
Yeah.
Just, like, something else bloody looms around here.
Well, here's the thing. I am an oracle. I am not a healer. So I'm not really sure how to help you. Looking over my moves.
I don't know that this is necessarily a, like, mechanical way to help. I think this is more a Juno needed to get out of there mm-hmm. and sought you out.
Okay.
As, like, a friend, maybe. Or yeah. or an acquaintance.
Yeah. Okay. Who did this to you?
A group of, I'm gonna say, wolf hunters? Or creature hunters? Of some sort.
Okay. Did you happen to notice a circle with a sword on any of them?
In fact, I did. Because I beat the shit out of this one guy, okay? Uh-huh. And when I ripped his shirt off, he had that tattooed on his bloody-ass chest.
Ooh. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I just left. Oh, God. Now we have to go back and tell her.
Who?
I don't know. She was not very excited about you bringing a friend the last time.
Juno, I think because you are also a member of the same circle, you 100% know that Cleopatra, a very powerful vampire, lives in this building.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I did know that. I got confused because of the blood loss.
Yeah. That is... I mean, maybe she could help. She does have some access to blood.
Great. Do you think that she might have, like, a sheet or something I could wear?
Probably.
Sheet?
I guess we're going back in.
Yes, please.
You guys turn around and head back in, and you see this. The doorman is like, why?
It is why? Your lucky night. I'm back already. So be thinking about that debt.
Okay. Good. Great, welcome in. You see, you guys, he lets you all in, because he isn't going to say no. Locks the door behind you and then says, okay, hurry, hold on 1 second. Hurries, runs in front of you guys, hits the door for the elevator, waits, and then says, hold 1 moment. And then sort of he takes the place as the elevator operator and says, don't mind the mess. And you see there is a sort of a spray of blood in the elevator.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was the one who I was supposed to... I get them confused. Okay.
Wait, sorry, you just saw us?
Yeah.
You got us confused. I came to your door.
Yeah, I know. You're all wearing the same outfit, so
she makes us! It's not a choice!
Okay. You know, I'm so sorry. Okay, we're gonna go. We're gonna head up now.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. We are gonna quickly, as you guys are riding that elevator.
I just need more information. I just need to know what Cleopatra's life is like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You actually get a message while you are streaming that night, Necrojan. You've been streaming for about an hour after you left Haru at the internet cafe, and it's from your empress. Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she says, got a lead. Can you visit this address?
Uh-oh.
Tonight.
And I say, yes, thank you, my queen. Crown emoji, heart emoji, thumbs up emoji.
Can we just get, like, a real quick, what are you doing on the stream as you say goodbye again?
Oh, I'm just like, chat, I'm so sorry. This is a crazy night. I'll have to make it up to you guys. I could do a hot tub stream.
All the hearts. All
thumbs
the likes.
Up in the comments if that's what you want to see. I gotta go. Bye.
There's one, as you leave, you just see one username that just says, like, Haru... XO Call of Duty
creative
Pone
with just like 10 thumbs ups.
Oh,
yeah, because
no.
he came of age when the internet was younger, so he thinks poning is still funny.
Okay.
And there are so many thumbs up, he like it looks like he broke his thumb thumbing up.
Oh, well, we will deal with that later.
You hop on public transit of choice? Oh, wait, sorry.
I have a car.
Oh, that's right, you have a car. Okay.
Please.
You hop in your car. What does it look like?
I think it's just a cute, tiny car.
Yeah. I was imagining one of those little cubes.
Yeah.
You little hop in car. This, like, hot pink cube, make your way through Settle. Tokyo, and you pull up, and you actually see there's, like, this very distraught-looking man in front of this building,
yeah.
And you just assume he's the valet.
Oh, yeah. So I get out.
Mm-hmm.
I hand him my keys.
And he just sort of looks at you like, what?
Oh, wait. What?
Oh, are you here to see... Yes, no, I can park it. It's fine.
No, I can. It's...
No, please, please.
Are you okay?
It's fine. It's fine. Can you actually just, like, wait for, like...
Can I try to figure him out?
Yeah, go ahead and figure someone out.
It's a five.
It's a five. As you are there, you hear this, like, weird sound, like something, like, hitting something else, like, maybe someone dropping a glass down the street. And as he's sort of sitting there, and he's like, no, it's okay, I can do it, you watch as a body falls on top of him, and you look up, and there's, like, the very top, or almost the very top of the building, there is a little hole. As if someone was just thrown out.
Yeah, I want to say, like, I was trying to figure him out, and I was asking him if he was okay, and then, like, halfway through, I was just like, I don't care.
Yeah, you do that. You fully do that, and then...
Oh.
And he's just sort of laying there, unconscious, bleeding out, and there's... Your keys are in his hand.
I guess I'll park my own car.
You see another one sort of comes out of a side door and says, ma'am, no. Please, no, I've got this. It's okay, it's fine.
I just point at the bodies.
We'll take care of that. Don't worry.
Okay. And I go in.
Okay. You go in. You press the elevator button. There's no one there to press it for you. Sorry, I think two dead bellmen is, like, enough. I don't think she can... I don't know that she quite...
She's run out!
She runs out eventually. You take the elevator up. The rest of you are already in Cleopatra's apartment. You have been given Juno the polar bear rug because she thought it was very funny
to drape over your body.
That is kind of funny.
I assume, Kami, you were telling about like, what happened.
And, yeah, and the symbol.
Yeah, and after hearing your account, Juno, Cleopatra says, oh, this is very, very upsetting. Well, now, see, I had sort of orchestrated a potential meeting with Goro and his goons, but I don't know that that's going to work now, because, well, now he stepped in something. Oh, and, sorry, what is your name again, miss? And she points at you, Susan.
Juno.
Juno. So nice. Lovely. Can you actually take a seat real quick and I can sort of help you out?
Sure.
She sort of goes around behind, so you got this cart, and she sort of bites into her wrist with her fangs and pours some of her blood into a nice little cocktail with some vermouth and ice. Vermouth? Guys, what's a good... what would go? What would
a good blood mixer? What you
put in a martini.
In a
but it's okay. Not
throw
like
some Aperol in there. Let's do like a little bitter Aperol. Aperitif. Well,
okay. Aperitif. Okay, yeah. I think she's kept up with everything. She says, yes, of course. She makes you an aperitif. Or sorry, an Aperol spritz with her own blood.
We're the wrong people to ask about mixed drinks.
I mean, truly, if it wasn't very, like
much nicer to this person than she was to me. I just want to say, I didn't get offered any drinks.
That's true. Well, she also knows that you wouldn't be able to drink it.
It would just be nice to be offered so I could say no.
Fair.
But it's fine.
If it was morning, it would have been a Bloody Mary. Anyway.
Thank you, though.
So she
you only drink Post Malone rosé. She doesn't have that here.
She definitely does not.
Yeah, do you have any Post Malone rosé?
She just looks at you dead in the eye and says, I do not know who that is, and I will not inquire further. And then she hands Juno the drink and says, please drink this up. You'll feel better.
I hope she's not lying, because I'm almost dead. So
you heal entirely. She's extremely powerful. You are fully healed. You are, like, bleeding out. You could see, like, parts of your organs that were exposed. And you just watch as your body knits itself back together.
Do clothes get put on it?
No, you have a...
You're still going to wear the polar bear?
Yeah, you have a 6-foot-long polar bear rug.
Okay.
She says, actually, you know what? I'll have something brought up for you. Just hold on. As you arrive, Sumi / Necrojohn, shortly after you arrive, she offers you a drink. She offers a drink to Kami. I think she would say to Sylvia, would you like a drink? I've got some milk here for Phantom.
Oh, I want milk.
Perfect. Should have known.
I don't think I can drink anything.
Have you tried?
No. Should I try?
Of course.
Okay. I'm going to try.
You're currently visible and audible, right? So you try to grab this glass and your hand just sort of like goes through it.
Oh, man.
And Cleopatra looks at everyone and says, when you're dealing with a new ghost, never let go of a glass before you've ascertained if they can grab it. That's important. Well, too many amateurs lose too many glasses.
Can they see me now? Okay.
I assume that you, like, would manifest once
the
others arrive, right?
Sure.
Maybe not. So we probably...
The
Aperol actually...
made me see you. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
I've never felt so seen
as a ghost before in my life.
I would say probably for Juno, when you are not worrying about dying, your sort of supernatural senses allow you to sense that Sylvia is there. And the same is true for Sumi. Because other supernatural creatures can sort of sense your presence, Sylvia.
Yeah.
But, like, on a normal basis, you are not visible.
Okay.
Cleopatra says, so here's the deal. We all have an issue, and I think we all have the same cause. These hunters, led by Goro Watanabe, want to destroy every supernatural entity that lives in Tokyo. They're trying to get rid of the fae courts who rely on their strange internet capital to fund their processes. And they are using old-fashioned brute force to get rid of creatures like you and me. And she sort of nods to you, Juno. I've brought you here because I was hoping we could maybe work together to end this threat.
I mean, I brought her here, but...
Yes, and I appreciate your work on my behalf, Kami.
Okay. Just making sure that we were clear on that.
I sort of size everyone up and I'm like, just give us an address and we can...
Oh, of course.
Take care of it, I think.
From what I understand, Goro Watanabe lives at this address. She sort of tells you all an address. It's a very nice part of town. You know, she lets you know that he is married, but his kids are out of the house. And he...
out of the house grown or out of the house dead or grown. Out of the house...
They're grown.
Sleepover.
Right. Sleepover. Tonight is a special night. They're having a sleepover. They said they were trying to watch their favorite streamer, but she kept leaving.
Oh, no!
I don't know what that's about. What is a streamer? But it is heavily guarded, but a group of your capabilities should be able to sneak in and do what needs to be done.
I turn to the person closest to me. Who's close to me right now?
I am.
Okay, I turn to Juno and I'm like...
everyone in this polar bear.
I'm like...
I'm huge.
I have capabilities? I don't know that I have capabilities.
I'm sure you've got something.
Okay, well, I'll try.
I know, I can't tell what they are either, but I believe in you.
Thanks!
We cut to, Juno, you are wearing a bellman's uniform, like a bellhop uniform.
Just took it off a dead body.
It does have blood all over it. It's maybe
fine. Used to it.
Yeah, it's not, it's honestly sort of fits you because these guys were kind of short. And
just say it suits me.
It suits you. Yes, it does. You all arrive probably in Sumi's car at...
We're all crammed.
Somehow we all fit into the tiny car.
I mean, I'm a ghost, so I could just ride on the
just
roof,
like, hanging out.
I'm just on the
or
top,
you're, like,
like
hovering between us.
Can I talk to Phantom the cat?
Yeah, of course. You have a close personal bond with Phantom if you want.
I just want to say hello to Phantom and say it's really nice you get to be with your person, even though she's a ghost.
So you guys hear, wow, 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 and Phantom goes, wow, which you know is, she's a ghost?
Oh, I mean, no. She's, no.
Like you?
I'm not a ghost.
Oh, you smell different.
Thanks?
Not bad. You smell like a friend.
Oh, good.
Phantom.
I can turn into a cat.
That's what it is.
I don't know if it's going to be relevant during this session, but I can't turn into a cat.
You could use it to sneak into the bad guy's apartment. House. I don't know.
Phantom, you're so smart.
So smart, Phantom.
Just okay. As a dog of sorts, I feel left out of this conversation.
Yeah. Like, you see some dogs
Something fucking weird's happening in the backseat.
Some dogs are barking in the background, and you're like, and they're just saying, like, we're hungry! And you're like, I get it. I mm-hmm. get it. You guys arrive at the house.
I just really imagine I was on the roof the whole time, just like...
Surfing?
Yeah.
You guys arrive at the house. There are two guards posted outside. They look a lot like they're wearing the same stuff you saw earlier, Juno. So it's, you know, you're like, blah!
Like that?
Phantom said I should turn into a cat, so I'm gonna do it.
I will also say, and you do not have to do this, Juno, but you have an ability where you can mark a building with signs or sigils.
Let's do that. That's
okay.
When you say mark a building, I just think
pee on.
Yeah, with urine.
Yeah.
Well, you get to decide how you make the signs or sigils.
I think you pee on it. You should pee on it. For sure.
I'll pee on it.
Alright, so you just go over and start peeing. We don't have to analyze. I was like, how precious are you being about this Bellman's uniform? It doesn't matter.
Not very.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll
You've seen,
dice.
Like, a drunk girl squat, pee up against a building. It's that type of situation.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just like, what is she
doing?
That's
stepping into.
I love it. You're going to roll and add one.
Pee, girl, pee. You can do it.
Pee!
Four?
What?
Okay, plus one. Here's what I will say. All of you can lend a hand if you would like to.
So we all help someone crouch and get together.
Well, I think, hold on. Do someone a favor.
If you throw a little cat pee on here, too, it really mixes it.
Hold on a second. So here's the deal.
we all just start peeing on the building.
You're
together.
Not helping her pee. Susan, which
she,
of the spirit
she goes
got a
to squat
total.
And she's like, oh, I peed recently. There's nothing. I can't.
I'm going to be honest.
I got a shy bladder. There's too many people watching.
I really want to turn into a cat and pee.
Yeah, you can do
that.
For
moral support.
Yes. So roll and add.
And no, then we all kind of turn around to give them some privacy.
Yeah.
Eight.
Okay. You do it. So it now goes up.
Are you going to Mark Knight?
I think so. I'm going to say yes because that makes sense to me.
Okay. I will say when I turn into a cat, it's like a comical poof, and then I'm a cat.
Yeah. What did you roll, an eight?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you pee, but you see that the two guards, one of them goes, hey, there's a cat peeing over there.
And I hiss at him.
And they are gonna sort of like give
and
chase a little bit.
Can I run and like distract them?
Yes, 100%. And we'll get back to that. If someone else wants to lend a hand, you can make this a success.
Okay.
It's currently at a six. We need one more. And here's what I will say. You lend
your
hand.
Did my peeing not help?
No, it did help. It went from a five to a six.
Did I help?
And now we're trying to go one more to get
so
it up
if,
to a
can
seven.
I lend a hand by like making Phantom go pee on you?
Okay, so you could do that. I would also say the pee isn't what
it's not
really
about the pee.
And episode title. It's not about the pee.
Book Squad
about
Games 3, Tokyo Drift, it's not about the pee.
It's not about the pee.
Colon. Colon.
Yes.
Colon. It's more about that the sigil that you created with your pee did not quite connect the way you wanted it to. So everyone else is adding their spiritual. All
right, I can add some spiritual juice to that.
Add your spiritual.
I got lots of spirit.
Mine.
All right,
so
you want me to roll?
You're going to roll and add your knight, which should be pretty good for you.
Yeah, so that's 10.
10, that means you help. So it is a 7. So let me go back to the
Look,
pool.
You guys, I said that I couldn't do anything and I'm doing stuff.
You're doing so great. I'm proud of you.
At Look, any distance.
Me too. Thank
because,
you.
Because of the help of your like new allies, Juno, you are able to do one of the three following things. You can conceal the building's location or true function. You can control the doors, locks, and windows. Or you can sense who is in the building at all times.
I would like to control the doors, locks, and windows, please.
That seems very helpful. So you all watch as all of the windows sort of like slowly rise. and you can all hear this like ka-thunk as all the locks unlock.
Hmm.
We're going to move quickly back to Sumi.
I'm a cat. I'm running around.
Running and distracting. Can you roll to distract?
What
or
is
mislead.
That
I believe it's with mind. Mislead, distract, or trick someone. But because you are a fae,
I can roll with heart instead.
You can roll with heart instead.
10.
10? That's a good roll. Yes, you're killing it. Here we go. So you can do one of the. You can pick three out of these four. You create an opportunity, you expose a weakness or flaw, you confuse them for some time, or you avoid further entanglement.
I would like to create an opportunity for everyone else to get inside unseen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't need help with that.
Well, right. But the more corporeal members, this will come in very handy. So you watch as both of the guards run off after this kitty version of Neko-chan.
Can I then jump in a window?
Oh, 100%. So you avoid further entanglement.
Right. And she makes and a little noise when she does it that sounds like...
You can either expose a weakness or flaw or confuse them for some time.
Confuse them.
Yeah. So I'll say, sort of as part of this, because this is, like, part of your fey magic, you can sort of, like, you know, make them confused. Like, maybe you make another, like, version of yourself keep going.
They see a little phantom cat. Not phantom the cat, but a little...
fake cat.
Yeah. Oh. Spirit cat.
100%. You guys, the rest of you are able to sneak into the house. It's a very beautiful, sort of, like, lush garden. You go up the front steps. The lights are all out. You get inside, and then you see a cat jump into a window.
Oh, shit.
Oh, hey. Is that?
I'll turn not into a cat now.
Okay, so then you see this, like, what do you wear when you're, what are you wearing? Because you were just streaming, so.
I wear, like, I'm just gonna say, like, a toned down, like, sort of Lolita getup, like, very frilly, cute dress.
Mm-hmm.
Stockings.
Yeah. Okay, so you see this, like, fully kitted out streamer e-girl, who you recognize as Sumi, up here.
I didn't know you could turn into a cat.
Mm-hmm.
That was useful.
That was useful.
You guys, sort of head further into the house. You see a very well-appointed kitchen. There's a nice sort of big family room. And in this family room, sitting above the mantle, is a large sword with no hilt, really. It's just sort of like a single blade with like a little handle on the end. And above it is a plaque that you can all read that says the Onikiri sword.
Well, that must be the sword that kills all supernatural creatures, so I guess we should try to destroy the sword. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What destroys the sword?
Let's see, what can I do?
Can I try to wither it?
Yeah, 100%. Go ahead and, is that something you have to roll, or is it just something you do?
No, it's just something I can do. Imbue your touch with the power to kill.
Okay.
It's three harm.
It's three harm. Intimate. What does it look like when you wither something?
I think it would look different if it was a living thing, because it leaves a mark, right. And I think it would leave a mark that looked like a little cartoon cat.
Okay. You see this sort of, like, cartoon cat appear on the edge of the blade and sort of, like, dance down it.
Mm-hmm.
And as it dances, the blade sort of, like, curls and blackens. And then at the very end, the cat sort of, like, jumps off and the blade just turns to ash.
Oh.
Did that work?
There's just a handle now. There is no blade.
Hmm. Nice.
Okay.
Some sword.
Maybe we steal it?
Yeah.
That seems good. So I'm gonna, can I reach out and take it?
Yeah, you can take the handle.
Okay, I take the handle and I put it in my backpack.
Perfect. You have the handle of a magical sword.
Ooh.
I guess I'm gonna take this to Cleopatra later, but should we try to, I mean, is there anybody here?
We need to kill that guy.
Who's here? Is he here?
You have not met anyone so far, but you also have not gone into where the bedrooms would be.
Okay, let's go to the
bedroom. Are they sleeping?
It's pretty late. It's so like crappy. Almost midnight.
I feel like Juno should go first with her machete blade.
It's so crappy. We're just like, we're going to go into this house, destroy this guy's sword.
Well, I mean, I can go in first and kind of see what the deal is because they're not going to be able to see me. And then I can come back and tell you.
Okay, let's do that.
So I'm going to go in and check out.
I'll be right behind you.
Yeah. And then,
yeah.
So that way I can tell you what to expect. So I'm going to go in and see.
You go into a room and you see, actually, this is a room that seems to be, it seems like he and his wife have separate bedchambers.
Mm.
So this is a very well-appointed room. You see a woman who looks to be in her, like, mid-50s, sleeping soundly.
Okay, I feel like we want to get the husband first.
Yeah.
So we'll leave this room
alone. The wife, you don't have to kill at all, really. She's just...
Yeah, we don't know what her deal is, so...
I mean,
yeah.
She's complicit just by being married to him, so she's not off the hook. But anyway, let's find the husband, so let's leave this room alone. I'm going to keep looking.
Okay. You go into the next room, and as you sort of phase through the wall, you feel this, like, weird prickle along where would be your skin.
Mm.
And the man who was in the bed bolts straight up. He can't see you, but something has happened.
Oh.
And you see he is sort of, like, rummaging. He, like, hits a button next to his bed, and a compartment opens up, and he pulls out two handguns.
Okay, I'm gonna hurry back and tell him what I saw. So he's awake, and he's got handguns, and he's ready to party. He's in there.
Great.
There you go, right?
Handguns.
Can I change?
You can, actually. I was just trying to figure out how you can do that.
It's like I need to.
So roll plus spirit. So you're going to add...
Wait, one of my things is I can help people let it out. Or advance
That's
let it
right.
out. That's so right. So I would like let to advance out. Let it out. With my conduit 100%. Special ability.
100%.
That seems like okay. the time.
Here I go. It's a 9.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Plus 1, right?
Plus 1, which is a 10, which means it's a perfect 10. Success.
Yes.
So, what this means, because it is advanced, I think if you had rolled a 12 plus, your abilities would have manifested in an unexpectedly useful way. But I will say, for the purposes of this, because this is the first time, Sylvia, that you have really gotten to do this, like you weren't really aware of this
yeah.
before, everyone in this area feels like a deeper connection to their innate supernatural abilities. And so I'll say that your claws and your bites will do an extra damage.
Yes.
Juno. Rar.
Good, because I'm mad.
Yeah.
Under Let It Out, can I twist the strands of fate to hinder an NPC in my presence?
Oh, 100%. In fact, we'll say as you guys are doing this, because it'll take you a second to transform. Anybody else that wants to do something, you hear Goro Watanabe sort of running, or not running. You hear a door open and someone silently padding down the hallway.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah, go ahead and roll and add spirit.
Okay. Oh, God. 2, 3. So 5 plus 1, 6.
Okay, so it doesn't work. And instead, what happens is you try to twist fate so that it will, work out for your benefit, for your party's benefit, right? For this new group's benefit. But instead, what happens is that you make, sort of through your oracle powers, you make Sylvia manifest fully.
Oh.
Sylvia, you were not planning to do this, and you sort of clunk to the ground and you make a thud.
Sorry.
I fell to the ground!
And you hear a voice say, "Who's here? What do you want?"
I'm just gonna let out a low growl.
Oh, you must be the one my men encountered earlier.
And I recognize him. He hangs out at the Silver Nightingale.
Was he the guy? From before?
He's been stalking people there, I think. I've just not put this together. Mm.
Can I do
this
one?
Yes, please do Bedlam. I love that.
So I do have to mark a corruption to do it, and mark another corruption to do it to somebody without touching them.
Wow, okay.
But it is worth it.
Yeah.
So I can make him feel an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make him feel chill.
Okay. You see he walks out, and he's like, welcome, can I get you guys some drinks? You look like rye, and I'm going to say milk. I'm sensing a milk vibe.
I would love
gin and
a drink.
Tonic, a water for you, I think.
What?
Oh, I miss. You just look a little, you look
I'm 18. I think.
You know.
Why are you hunting people?
Sounds like you're hunting me right now, but we'll put that aside. Because the supernatural shouldn't coexist with normal folk, right?
But we were here before you.
Well, that might be, but we're here now, and, you know, we can't have all of these, fairy tale creatures and nightmare monsters interfering.
Did he just call me a nightmare monster?
He did. So you're just a jerk.
I was murdered,
well,
sir. I didn't choose this life.
I'm kind of the one-dimensional bad guy you need in a very short one-shot. You know what I mean?
This is a pilot episode. It's not a one-shot. Come on.
Listen. Oh, that's true. Sorry for the pilot episode. Oh. Well, here's the deal. You have to, if you offer someone a false prophecy, you uh-huh. take a corruption. And if you do that 5 times, you get one of these corruption moves.
Oh, well, then maybe I should just go ahead and offer a false prophecy.
Yeah, you can do that.
All right. All of a sudden, I just stumble backwards and my eyes roll back in my head. I'm faking, but no one knows. And I reach out and grab something to hold myself up, and I'm just, like, shaking. And then I stop, and my eyes return to normal, and I fall to the ground. But I'm, like, sitting, and I'm, like, awake. And I look at, what's his name?
Goro, yeah.
I make eye contact, and I'm, like, if you continue down this path, you will die.
It's true.
He looks very serious. I'm going to actually have you mislead, distract, or trick someone.
Okay.
And I'll say, because you are doing this very well, I will give you a plus one to do that. Because you also marked the corruption, so.
And also, like, honestly, if you go down any path, you're going to die. They're not lying.
It's not technically
I'm not
a
even
lie.
Lying. Yeah, it's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so I'm rolling twice, and then I'm adding one? Or am I adding?
So, you are adding mind.
Okay.
Whatever your mind stat is.
So okay, so be... two.
Hey, two. That's great. You should have been lying all night.
Okay, so 4 plus 2. So 6. So 8.
And you got a plus one.
So 9.
Of the corruption. So a 9. So, pick 2. You create an opportunity, you expose a weakness or flaw, you confuse them for some time, you avoid further entanglement. I mean, we could flavor one of these to be like, he believes you, and,
yeah.
you know, whatever, but, whichever sounds right. I would say, like, certainly you have, like, created an opportunity for your allies if they want to, like, attack him at this point. He seems totally confused. He
yeah.
believes you.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if any of that sounds right.
Sure.
Okay.
You tell me.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. It's a little confusing the way it's worded sometimes. I will say you've created an opportunity and you have exposed a flaw, which is that, you know, when you say this, he sort of looks at this photo or this painting of his family that hangs above where the sword was.
Okay.
And it seems clear that he is a family man, and that's really important to him. So when you say, like, you will die, he's like, oh, my sons.
He
just sort of looks up.
Can I touch him? Can I skim the surface?
Oh, heck yes. Please skim that surface.
I'm going to skim the surface.
I'll just say real quick, we played a game one time where someone was an oracle, and she just constantly skimmed the surface, and no matter what, when she hit, she would say, what's your hidden pain?
That is what I was about to ask, so that's one of the options. Okay, so...
It's the best option.
So 3 plus 4, so that's 7, and then do I add spirit?
Add spirit.
Okay, yeah. So 8.
8, so you get to ask one.
Okay, I'm gonna ask...
What
is your hidden pain?
You touch him, like, on the shoulder in, like, a sort of reassuring way, I think. And you get this flood of thoughts and emotions. You see him playing with his sons when they are young boys. You see them graduating from high school, going off and starting their own lives. And you see this image of him as a newlywed, sharing a bed with his wife, and then several years later, her asking to get her own room.
Oh.
Maybe he snores real bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like it was a malicious thing, but
maybe
that seems to be...
a little CPAP.
Okay, well,
seems
here's...
to be his hidden thing.
Here's what I'm gonna do, is I'm gonna say, do you think that your wife is pulling away from you because you have dedicated so much of yourself to the cause of destroying the supernatural that you aren't dedicating enough of yourself to your family?
He bursts into tears. Fully, yes. And, what are the rest of you all doing? That's really good. That was great.
Thank you.
We could let you live if you made a promise.
He sort of looks up at you and he says, you're one of the Fae, aren't you? Or, no, you're an Oni.
Oh, I 100% meant, like, a legally, spiritually binding promise.
Okay. What promise?
And if you broke it, there would be consequences.
Dire consequences.
Of course. Rawr. Yes. Rawr. I think even as a wolf, I like the roaring, but you could probably speak if you wanted to. It would be very menacing.
No, they're doing a great job. I'm just here to back up Scare.
I love it.
Roar.
What?
It's my British roar.
Roar.
Pretty good. Well, yeah, I'll promise anything. What?
If you harm or attempt to harm or help someone else harm a supernatural creature, we will have to come back and kill you.
You see he pulls out like a belt knife and he puts it over his palm. Do I need to... Is this a blood promise?
Ooh, a blood promise! Ooh.
Can I use my machete?
Sure.
It's not been used enough.
Yeah.
I'll cut you.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, of course. He puts his arms out. I deserve this.
She gently slashes the machete across his arm.
You see his blood sort of drips, and where it drips, it sort of turns into like a pixelated version of blood. And it moves toward Sumi, and you just sort of grab it out of the air.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You can put it in.
It turns into a charm, and I add it to my cell phone.
Oh my god.
Yes.
A little drop of blood.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. All the blood cell phone blood. Charms Those are different are promises? What a twist.
Incredible.
I didn't Mind know. Blowing. That's so good.
I didn't know either.
Oh my god.
That's the
improvisation.
The improvisation.
You're too good at this.
He drops his gun and he says, the Onikiri blade. Only right that it should be destroyed.
Oh, about that.
Oops. No. I assume it was you all.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did you have it?
It belonged to my ancestor.
And you felt cool about it?
Well, he was a great demon slayer, it was said, and when I started the Onikiri, it was in his honor. It made sense at the time. Look, I see it was misguided now, but thank you for sparing me. I don't deserve that.
You're right.
Now go have sex with your wife.
Is that part of the promise?
She
doesn't
be.
Like it when I wake her up horny.
Here, tomorrow night, here's what you're gonna do.
Okay.
You're gonna point out to her casually during the day that the sword is gone.
Mm.
Okay.
Don't make a big deal of it,
just casually point it out.
Okay.
When evening approaches, you will make her favorite drink. You will draw her a bath.
Maybe get takeout.
Bring her her drink. Pamper her, and then when it's usually time that you will both separate, that is when you will make your move, sexually.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
This is very good. Can we be friends? Is that too far?
Yes.
That's too far.
I misread the moment. I'm sorry. It seemed right. Anyway.
You know what I do want to say, though, Goro? You said that you were a one-dimensional bad guy, and I don't think that's true. I think we've learned there's more to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you shouldn't sell yourself short like that.
Wow, thank you. It almost felt like someone else was speaking through me in that moment, like I didn't say it.
Well, you can't let other people speak through you like that. You've got to speak for yourself.
You're right. Hey, I have many dimensions.
That's right.
At least two.
Can I give you one more tip before
yes.
we... part ways, Goro?
Of course.
If you're ever out of toilet paper.
Yes?
Don't make a choice.
Just use your hand. Just use your hand.
Don't make a choice. Just get in the shower.
Or, yeah, you know, it's okay. Japan, so you guys have bidets.
You got a bidet.
Just, here's the thing, also, just don't run out of toilet paper.
I try not to. Yeah. I always keep an extra roll.
I can't remember the last time I ran out of toilet paper.
You know what sucks about this whole thing of having to make that choice? Is it's not your fault if you sit down and there's no toilet paper. It's someone else's fault. And now you're stuck having to make this choice that might kill you.
Unless you live alone.
Then it is your fault.
Okay, then it's your
own. I feel like this is a conversation that's not for me. So
no, I'm just trying to give you a tip.
Really a philosophical conversation now.
I appreciate it. He goes back to his room and sleeps the sleep of the...
He's not sleeping after this.
No, he just stares at his ceiling for hours and tries to remember what his wife's favorite drink is. He's not... Look, he's two-dimensional, but he's not great. Still kind of sucks. The rest
he's certainly
of all,
not three-dimensional.
No, not three-dimensional. Two and a half at most dimensions. The rest of you all, you have succeeded. Juno, you can untransform or stay transformed for a little bit if you want. It is your choice.
I kind of like it like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look good.
You guys can head. You. I don't know. What do y'all do? Do you head out? What do?
I feel bad because I never helped Sylvia.
I know. Maybe next time we'll find out who murdered me.
Yeah.
In the meantime, do you guys want to be my friends? Because I'm kind of lonely. I have my cat, but otherwise, I've just been wandering the streets. Yes.
And do you need a job?
Well, I don't know if I can work a job because I can't actually hold things most of the time and people can't see me or hear me.
Do you need a place to stay?
Yeah, probably.
You can stay with me.
I could try to do the dishes.
I just want to try one thing. Sure. Are you, like, physically manifested right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so can I touch you? Can I try to skim the surface?
Mm-hmm.
Can I see what your hidden pain is, maybe? Okay, let's try.
Roll, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to roll correctly, but... 3, not looking good.
Oh, no.
3, 6, plus... So 7.
So you can ask. One.
Okay. Yeah. What's your hidden pain?
You get this image, and the image you get is just sort of like a blank wall. And you get the sense that, like, the hidden pain is that Sylvia doesn't remember.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I thought I might get the actual pain of the event of the murder.
Well, I'll give you one more thing. This is what you get.
Okay.
You get this image, and you already saw this earlier. Her bloody dying. But you see, it wasn't a, like, a knife or a gun. You see claws. Sort of emerging from Sylvia's, like, through her back and up through her ribcage.
Maybe don't... I don't know.
Should I tell her what I saw?
That is up to you. But you sense that her death was not, like, a mugging or
I feel like that's the
a...
cliffhanger that gets us to episode 2.
Yeah,
that's a very good cliffhanger.
So we stop.
So CW, if you want more of this content, hit us up.
Contact us. Our email address is thesquad@booksquadgoals.com. You can find us on...
No, I'm kidding. Yeah!
We're supposed to say what's on the blog, right?
No, we're not.
It's
we're
too just... long. It's too long.
Go to booksquadgoals.com/blog to check
see
out
what's
the blog.
On the blog.
Always great content.
Yes.
Bachelorette
all
content.
Kinds of stuff on the blog.
We are at Book Squad Goals on Facebook, yeah. Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or any podcatcher of choice and make sure that you subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
And thanks, Todd.
Yeah.
And next time we will be talking about Mary.
Yes, we'll be talking about The Chosen, The Beautiful by Nevo.
Yes.
Oh, wait, can I add one last thing as you guys leave the house?
Please do.
Mm-hmm.
As you all leave the house, a car pulls up. And you see a man with very floppy, dark hair say, "Hey, guys, want a ride?" And it's Han.
Stop! I hate you.
And that's it.
That was the post-credit scene.
That's the post-credit scene.
That's, yeah! That's what brings us into the Fast universe.
We're part of the canonical CW, you will have to pay for the rights to the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Oh, and on our next other episode, we will be talking to Grady Hendrix.
About the Scream movies and his newest book.
Final Girls Support Group.
Yay!